God and see what the Lord has to say. Hope you're learning something through this journey. 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 1, we'll read from verse 1 to 3. Tonight we'll try to get into verse 2 and 3, and mostly this morning verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." God will bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray together, and would you ask the Lord, as I will, to speak to our hearts today. Father, we do pray that the Word of God would have the purpose for whereto it's sent this morning. We pray that You would save Your people, Lord, from the deceptions that are in this world. And may we not deceive our own selves, and may we not listen to the lies that the devil will have told in this world. Help our hearts to be enjoined unto the truth, to embrace it with all of our hearts and desire to hear from heaven and to follow the Scripture. We pray, Lord, if there's one soul here this morning that has never left their sin and come to Christ for the redemption that's found through His blood, we pray that they would respond to the Spirit of God today and trust Christ as their Savior. But please, Lord, give us the sense of the Word of God and help us today and glorify Yourself as we've already prayed, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen. Now, this morning, verse 1 through 3, and even tonight, you know, it's a negative thing. It talks about heresy is the subject. If I had to entitle the message this morning, it would be damnable heresies. And I'm sure the majority of people wouldn't go to church to hear about damnable heresies, because most people want to hear about, you know, marshmallow cream and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's important for us to go through the Bible and just let God talk. And the truth is, what we just got through going through at the end of chapter 1 that leads us into chapter 2 is a very positive thing. We saw last Sunday how we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have such truth in the Word of God that God's given to us. We have more truth in our hands in the Bible than if God were to speak audibly from heaven to us. What a blessing it is to have the truth of the Word of God, to have a copy of the Bible. That I can't think of a more positive thing. Because as human beings, our whole desire to, why am I here? And if there's a God, who is He and where is He and what does He want me to know? And God put everything in a book in my hand so that I would know all those things. And I wouldn't be kept in the dark, and I wouldn't have a question mark, and I wouldn't know how eternity is awaiting for me. And I'd understand the path of my life and what a blessing God has put in our hands with a copy of the sure word of prophecy. That's positive. But with every positive, then there's a negative. The negative side of that is we have the truth that's positive, we also have heresy with us. Right now, we have the sure word of prophecy. That's what he said up there in verse 19 of chapter 1. We have, that's right now. Right where we're living, present tense. But in verse 1, look at it with me, "But there were that's past tense, false prophets also among the people, even as there," what's that say? "Shall be false teachers among you." So we have the sure word of prophecy, but the truth is that the Bible has warned us also that we have damnable heresies with us. We have error with us, because just as God inspired the word that He sent through men, The devil has his own inspiration. And the devil has inspired men to bring forth deception into the world. And has error and heresy to get people away from the truth of God. And the devil's not going to sit idly by as the word of God is given by the Spirit of God. Through the devils of hell, got it. The devil has brought forth heresy and error and the wrong path, and it's with us today. Now, the bad thing about this is, look at verse 1 with me again. Heresies are originating among the professing Christians. He says in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers, look at it, among you. In other words, these heresies and this error and this deception is not coming from the outside, but he's saying it's going to be among you. And you have to be vigilant, and you have to know the difference between truth and error. See, how in the world am I going to recognize a damnable heresy? Well, the truth is, unless you are in the sure word of prophecy, you probably won't recognize the damnable. It's not, well, my church says or my parents said. No, it's, I have put my nose in the Word of God, and what this person is saying is not what this says, so I reject it. And that's why all the cults play upon people that have a casual, listen now, have a casual relationship with Christianity, have a casual relationship with the Bible, because it is a danger not to know the truth of the Word of God, for if you do not know it, you are a prey for the heresy that comes in to deceive you, because you can't tell if it's true or not. You know, if it's wrapped in a nice package, maybe it's okay. But damnable heresies come from people that are wrapped up in nice packages. Look at Matthew chapter 7, what Jesus warned. Matthew chapter 7. He says those heresies, those false teachers will come among you. Among you. They may hold a Bible. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 15, Jesus speaking, talking about those false prophets. Matthew 7, 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets, which come to you, how? In sheep's clothing. You know, now God forbid somebody dressed up their kids as the devil. That has nothing to do with I'm just here. Here's somebody's dressed up in something that they're not, right? They're dressed up as a sheep. It was a sheep. Well, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Sheep belong to Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. So this is someone that looks and talks and says things to get you to see, look at my clothing, I'm a sheep. But he says, beware of false prophets, because those false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul warned that in Acts chapter 20 in his last words to the Ephesian church, Acts 20, 29, 30. He says, you know, there are going to be grievous wolves that are going to come in among you. Oh, church, Christian friend, you have got to know the Word of God and be so associated with the Bible and with a Bible-believing church and a Bible-believing heart, so that when the wolf comes, even if he's in sheep's clothing, you can say, you know, there's something about you and something about what you say that just doesn't sound right. But how are you going to know the difference if your nose is not in the Bible? It's just like the Bible talks about trying the spirits. That's what John said. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. You know, most people cannot tell if someone has an evil spirit or a bad spirit about them. You know, we've got to be smarter than canines. You know, I've used that example before. If you talk nicely to a dog, it doesn't matter what you say, the dog wags its tail. I hate you, you're sorry little mutt. Oh, come here. I'm going to kill you. Come here. But if you say it nicely, the dog just... right? But if you say it in a harsher way, I love you. You're the best dog in the world. The dog, right? The message, it's the tone. We have got to be smarter than animals. You can't judge something by its tone. Well, I have a nice religion or a nice church or a nice preacher or this friend is nice. You can't tell it by the tone. You tell it by what's being said, by the influence that's behind it, the spirit that is behind it. And by the way, you can't discern a spirit if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like you can't discern a heresy unless you're filled with the Word of God. You don't know any difference. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, you'll not be able to discern that spirit. And I tell you what, we live in a fallen generation that continues to fall away from the truth. And there seems to be more heresy spread than there's truth spread. And the Bible says, look, you've got the Word of God. You've got the Spirit of God. Don't be deceived. And he said in verse 1, these false prophets and these false teachers among you, look at the next two words, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. In other words, they're not very open with it. They just come sort of softly. They come sort of secretly. They come privately, as it were. They're not very brazen. They have to sneak that stuff in. They sneak it through the radio, and they sneak it through the internet, and they sneak it through the media. And they sneak it in as they get closer to you. You can always tell the cults, you know, they come knock on your door. And whatever you want them to say, that's what they'll say to get you to listen to them for a while. It'll be later that they'll sneak in their damnable heresy. You never heard a Jehovah's Witness come to knock on your door and say, you know, let's read the Word of God and Jesus saved me. Have you been born again? You don't see a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door and say, we believe that Jesus was a created God. They never come out and say that. They come out and say the other things. Oh, we believe the Bible. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus. And then they'll tell you later the damnable heresy that destroys the truth of the Word of God in your life. Heresy coming among those that are professing Christianity. Quickly, 1 Corinthians 11. He says, these false teachers shall be among you. Notice that little word teacher as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 11. All these teachers, you know, teaching things false. I tell you what, church, preaching is going out of style and being substituted for false teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says in verse 19, the Bible says, for there must. This is. It's just as surely with you as the truth of God is. There must be also what? Heresies. There it is again. Among you. Why? That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. God says this. When heresies come in and they're exposed, you ought to know the Word of God enough to know that when they show themselves, that you just write those people off and say, you know, that went against the Bible. I don't want to have anything to do with you. That one thing you said shows me who you are. And God says, I'm going to allow these heresies so you'll know who to listen to and who to stay away from. So that they which are approved may be manifest. The false doctrine should separate. He said, now the Spirit speaketh, especially in the last times, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When they show up, well, then you need to get away from that. I'm going to stay with those that are speaking the Word of God. Now look at Acts chapter 24, a second thing. These down many times, and I've got to say this, people are accused of being heretics that are standing with the truth. So heresies are coming from among us. But then he says also in Acts chapter 24, he gives an illustration how many call something heresy just because it disagrees with them. Now listen, heresy is not a heresy because it disagrees with you. Heresy is heresy because it disagrees with the Bible. Anything that is contrary to the Word of God is a heresy. Okay? We don't have a Baptist creed and say everybody that doesn't believe these, you know, 55 things in the Baptist church is a heretic. We don't believe that. We say this, as Baptists, we believe the Bible's the Word of God, and the Bible's always right. And if you disagree with the Bible, it's a heresy you believe. If we disagree with the Bible, it's a heresy we believe. It doesn't matter what package it's wrapped in. But in Acts 24, watch what Luke writes here about the Apostle Paul for us. He said in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." You see what he said? Paul says this. In his defense, he says, they're saying that I believe a heresy, and I'm just trying to live by the Word of God. You know, the Roman Catholic Church in the Council of Trent pronounced 125 curses on anybody that does not believe Catholic doctrine. In other words, everybody in here is a heretic. Every one of us. And that's why in the Inquisition and with the Jesuits and all that, they burned people at the stake that believe what you believe. Because they classified you as a heretic. You believed a heresy. And that meant you didn't agree with us. Hey, look, what we're trying to get people to agree with is the Bible. Amen. That's what we're trying to get them to agree with. Amen. We're trying to conform your life. I'm trying to conform my life to the Word of God. And any other opinion that's contrary to that is a contrary that you shouldn't listen to and you should get away from. And if somebody calls you a heretic or a cult, oh, those independent fundamental Baptists. I say that word fundamental now that it's hit with a Muslim. They're throwing that word fundamental. And some people don't even like the word fundamental anymore. Oh, well, you can't be a fundamental Baptist or a fundamental Christian because that's a cult. That's a heresy. All these kids growing up in these churches, you know, and they had to dress right and they had to talk right and they had to act right. Oh, they came out of a cult. Well, they said that Paul was a cult. They said Jesus was a sect. Why? Because his life and his doctrine didn't match what they believe and the way they live. Heresy is defined scripturally as something that is contrary to the Word of God. Galatians 5, I'm laying all this as groundwork before I get into the message. Galatians 5, I'm going as fast as I can. But heresy also is called in the Bible a work of the flesh. The word heresy only occurs four times in your Bible. And there's one of the time it uses the word heretic. So that's four encompassing the word heretic. Galatians chapter 5, here's the word again found. And notice how God describes a heresy. Galatians 5 verse 19. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." And then here's this long list of the flesh. And part of the flesh, look at verse 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. What's that word? Heresy. Heresies are a work of the flesh. Why are they a work of the flesh? Well, it puffs up the flesh to teach something new and interesting and not according to the Word of God. It also gives many times the flesh the opportunity to do things against what God says. It's a work of the flesh. Titus chapter 3. We're turning our Bibles this morning. In Titus chapter 3 is the other passage where he talks about heresies or heretics. Titus chapter 3 verse 10. The Bible says, Titus 3:10, "A man that is an heretic, after the first an admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself." Every heretic, every person that espouses heresy is a person that has some sin problem in their life that is controlling them, it's subverted them, it's deceived them, and thereby they come up with this idea. Just like the no-hellers, you know. All those people that came up with the idea there was no hell. Well, they did that because their flesh did not want to entertain the subject of the Word of God that it could possibly be true. So because of their flesh, it was repugnant. The idea of hell was repugnant. So we just come up with a doctrine that it does not exist. He has subverted. And by the way, if you run into a heretic, and we're going to describe some of them this morning, the Bible said in Titus 3:10, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Stay away from him. Give him two times. Amen. That's what it said. Give them two times. If they believe a heresy, give them two admonitions. Hey, this is wrong, and this is why it's wrong from the Bible. And if they want to argue, say, okay, this is wrong, and this is another reason why it's wrong out of the Bible. And if they still won't listen, then you just reject them and stay away from them. It would be really good if people learned to stay away from the wrong people. You are not going to convert all these heretics. You're not going to be able to change them. But the attack is to change your heart, you see. Well, they're nice. Well, the book says two admonitions, reject them. Stay away from them. Now, what are some damnable heresies? Now, go back to our text, because there are different kinds of heresies. As I said, anything that's not in the Word of God is a heresy. But let's read our verse again. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So these heresies are described not just as being heresies, but damnable heresies. Now listen to me. Listen to me. There are some things that you can believe wrong that do not result in anybody going to hell. Everything that's in this Bible is true, and anything that's against it is a heresy. But there are some things that you can believe that are wrong that result in people going to hell. If it's not the person that believes it going to hell, it's someone else that believes the heresy that goes to hell. Damnable heresy. I personally believe that the liberty movement in the present day church is a heresy, telling people that they can just live any way they want to. And there is no responsibility placed upon people that say, that name the name of Christ to depart from iniquity. I think that is a heresy. But you know what? You can believe that you don't have to live right and nobody will go to hell over it. Your life will get ruined. But here he's talking about damnable heresies. Well, since we're in church and we want to learn something, let's identify some of these. Number one, the ones right in the text. Look at it again. They shall bring in damnable heresies. Here's a description. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Do you see that? Denying the Lord that bought them. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that blood atonement paid for the sins of the whole world. There are those that deny, there are Baptists that deny that the blood atonement was for all men. The blood atonement was even for false teachers. The blood atonement was even for false prophets. The blood atonement was for people that deny the Word of God. The blood atonement was for every living soul. There are some on your neighborhood friendly Christian radio station that are Calvinists, and they deny that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for every single individual. If anyone denies that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to pay for the sins of all of mankind, if anybody denies that, then they have believed a damnable heresy. I didn't say that they're going to hell, but they believe something that will result probably in someone else going to hell, questioning, well, I don't know whether Jesus died for me. Maybe I'm not a part of the elect. Maybe I'm not a part of the chosen. Maybe Jesus just died for them, but he didn't die for me. Jesus died for the false prophet. Jesus died for the false teacher. Jesus died for the worst harlot. Jesus died for the drunk. Jesus died for the atheist. Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for every living soul. If anybody denies that, it's a damnable heresy because it makes people doubt in the possibility of them being saved. The Bible says over and over again, twice it said in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, that in that he died for all. How can you get any more plain than that? 1 Timothy 2, 6, he gave himself a ransom for all. 1 Timothy 4, 10, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. He says, especially of those that believe. In other words, Jesus died to be your Savior, even if you won't believe it. He's still the Savior of the world. He wants to be your Savior. If you're here in this building this morning and you're not a Baptist, that's okay. If you don't believe the Bible, that's all right. If you don't believe anything in the world and you're sitting here, that's okay. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus Christ died to be your Savior. And if you will repent of who you are and what you think about all those things and just come to Jesus Christ, He'll save you. It doesn't matter how mad you're mad. It doesn't matter how much you're mad at God. The blood of Christ was shed for everyone. That's why I never took, well, you know, so-and-so, they could never get saved. I can't say that. That blood was shed for everybody. And I tell you what, if it can take away my sins, it can take away anybody's sins. Even denying the Lord that bought them. You're bought with a price. Bible says in 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation. That's the payment that satisfies. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for all. That's a heresy not to believe that. I'll tell you another heresy that's a damnable heresy. Look at 2 John. 2 John with me, will you? Here's a big, broad brush of heresies in 2 John. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this? We don't believe any heresy at Sweet Springs Baptist Church. No, not that I know of. But it's in the Bible for us to be warned about it, so you need to be warned about it. Because I guarantee you, somebody's going to come knock on your house. Knock on the door of your home. Some friend, some of these young people going to find somebody who they work with or who you work with or in school somewhere. You're going to come up with an idea that's foreign to the Word of God to deceive their heart. The Bible says in 2 John, here's how you recognize another damnable heresy. 2 John verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Verse 9, watch it very closely. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. This person that is a deceiver and is an antichrist, he is spreading the message of a different doctrine about who Jesus is. He transgresses in the doctrine of Christ. Very quickly, any belief is a damnable heresy that doesn't agree with the Bible about who Jesus is. Doesn't matter what religion it is. It doesn't matter if they profess to be Christian. Listen, Mormonism is not Christianity. I was in the airport the other day. I mean, there was a whole bunch of them come out of the airplane, you know. And they're all gathered there, and they look decent, and they look nice, and they look wonderful. They're dressed right, and they're very personable. Well, you know, they look better than a lot of Baptists I've seen. that's where you smile and laugh, nervously. Really? They emphasize family, right? They talk about Jesus. They even do what Baptists won't do. They give their children to a missionary work for at least a year. Really quiet right there. And so when they come knock on the door, or when they give out their Book of Mormon, or do whatever, you know, oh man, these are decent, upstanding, nice people. I mean, we have congressmen. We had a Republican presidential candidate. We had senators. Mormons, decent, nice. Heretics. It's a damnable heresy and a damnable doctrine. It has nothing to do with how they look or how nice they are. It has to do with what they believe about Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if there's someone that doesn't believe what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, don't even let them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't even be nice to them. Don't say, have a great day. We don't want them to have a great day. We don't want them to continue to spread their error and their heresy, because anybody that believes that, it'll damn their soul. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, you cannot be saved.
If you believe he's like you, like me, or some created God or some created being, Mormonism is not even a theology of one God. It's a theology of everybody can be a God. And Jesus was just one of those many gods. Heresy.
Jehovah's Witnesses right in the same category. Some of you may have friends or relatives of Jehovah's Witnesses. That doesn't mean we don't love them. That doesn't mean we don't try to give them the gospel. But we need to understand that their doctrine. You know how many Baptists have become Jehovah's Witnesses? And Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. How did that happen? Because they probably came to church twice a month.
Come on. Yeah.
And because they never read their Bible. Because they were only a Baptist because mom and dad were, or Methodist because somebody else was. But they didn't have any relationship with the Word of God, so they could spot, hey, that's not right. Damnable heresy. And of course, we understand that the Muslim religion is a damnable heresy. They believe Jesus was a prophet. They don't believe he was God in the flesh. Just one of many prophets, like Muhammad. No, Muhammad can't tie Jesus' shoes. Muhammad was a pervert. Jesus Christ is not a prophet, just like any other prophet. Jesus is not a god like every other god, like the Hindus would say. They would say nice things about Jesus, just like the Buddhists would say. But anybody that does not put Jesus Christ where the Bible puts him, and that's exalted high above every name that's named, amen. And that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said.
Amen.
Anybody will not recognize that about Christ. It's a damnable heresy. How about works salvation? Any religion that teaches works salvation. You know the scripture, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. What is a damnable heresy, church? A damnable heresy is anything that teaches that other than salvation by grace through faith is what's required to save a soul from hell. If you add all these works, it becomes a damnable heresy because people would believe, well, I've got to say the rosary. Well, I've got to go to confessional. Well, I've got to be baptized in water. Well, I got to go to church. Well, I got to be a good person. Well, I've got to give to charitable causes. I've got to be confirmed. I have to be baptized as a baby. Any religion that spreads out something for you to do to be saved is espousing a damnable heresy. It doesn't matter what name is on the church house. And I can't even, I got the Romanian Baptist. There were Baptists over there in Romania that were teaching that water washes away your sins when you get baptized. They were just as damnable heretics as anybody else in that place, along with the Catholics and the Orthodox and all the rest of them. You say, why are you naming all these things? So you'll know. Seventh-day Adventism is a heretical religion. They believe damnable heresies. They believe that you must keep the law to be accepted by God. That is a damnable heresy. You're only accepted by God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you. Not keeping the law. And they don't believe in hell either. You say, well, they got good health stuff. Well, okay. The Mormons have nice looking kids. One independent Baptist girl said, man, we need to have a ministry of reaching all the Mormons for Christ and saving all the Mormon boys so we can all have good husbands. That's bad. You know why it's bad? Because a lot of those guys are more decent than... Now, they're not saved. They're children of the devil. But they sure do clean up nice. Shouldn't be that way, should it? You have to judge the belief by what it says. Does it match this book? Do you believe what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, I reject you. No! You're not going to deceive me.
If you teach that I add something, that I have a part in my salvation, that I have to do something to be accepted by God. No, you have a damnable heresy.
A damnable heresy is anything that denies the Word of God. You can understand how that could be a damnable heresy. You know, there's some people that we try to witness to that we don't get to first base with because somewhere along the line they've been taught that this is not God's book, it's just a book. It's just a man's book. Maybe they got taught it in school or at the university, or maybe their friends talked them into it. Maybe they grew up non-religious and their parents said, oh, you know, they didn't have any place for the Bible. Anybody that believes that the Bible is not God's word is espousing a damnable heresy. Why? Because if you tell somebody this isn't the word of God, this is their only hope to hear the gospel to be saved. It'll damn their soul. That's why we have a whole generation of American children that are growing up, and they're growing up for damnation because they've not been taught that this is God's book. How do they know what to believe? How do they know who to trust? How do they know how to get their sins washed away? Because somebody told them this wasn't God's book. So they'll never find the answer. Go back to our text. And I'm finished. All these damnable heresies, this ecumenical type religion that promotes that everybody is a child of God and we all get to heaven our own way. You heard that? That's a damnable heresy. Why? Because people believe that and then they go to hell. They believe, well, it doesn't matter what you are, what you believe. We're all God's children. We all go to heaven. That's not true. And it doesn't matter what president says that. It doesn't matter what church or radio preacher says that. We're only the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm closing. He says in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves, what's the word? Swift destruction. God says, one of these days I'm going to destroy all of these people that have espoused these heresies to turn them away from my son. And the Bible says in verse 3, would you look at it? And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. Watch it now. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. God says, I'm getting ready. I'm going to bring swift destruction. He said in verse 12, they're made to be taken and destroyed. He said also in chapter 3 in verse 16, he says in this book, 2 Peter 3:16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You say, well, preacher, the Bible says swift destruction. We know people that have been espousing these false religions and false things about God for years and years and years and ten and hundreds of years. Why is their destruction not immediate? Because Ecclesiastes says this. Because execution on an evil work is not executed speedily. Because judgment's not executed speedily. The heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. And it goes on to say this, that God, don't mistake God's patience with the fact that he's not going to swiftly judge, because when he judges, I mean, it's just done. It's over. It just drops. God will do this. He'll wait and he'll wait and wait and wait, and then he'll drop the hat. It's just swift destruction. And we have a world headed that way. And Jesus warned us. He said, broad is the way to what? Well, why is that warning not being heralded everywhere? Broad is the way to destruction. And many there be. That's the end of the heresy. That's the end of those that espouse it. It works damnation in their lives. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. God is a merciful God. He's a gracious God. But he's given all of us a Bible to tell us
What we're to believe? And if we say, no, I don't want that, I'm going to go my own way, then he says, I'm going to wait, but I'm going to bring swift destruction because you would not believe on my son. You wouldn't believe the love letter that I sent you. Church, people died to get us this book. People died believing this book. And what a travesty is it that we have a generation that so freely gives away the truths of the Word of God like they don't matter when so many people died for them. And they would rather believe a lie than believe what God said. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that you